with a many a winding tongue that leads us to who knows where.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Spirit. Amen. Most merciful Jesus, whose very nature it is to have compassion on us and to forgive us, do not look upon our sins, but upon our trust which we place in your infinite goodness. Receive us all into the abode of your most compassionate heart, and never let us escape from it. We beg this of you by your love, which unites you to the Father and to the Holy Spirit. Eternal Father, turn your merciful gaze upon all mankind, especially upon poor sinners, all enfolded in the most compassionate heart of Jesus. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, show us your mercy, that we may praise the omnipotence of your mercy for ever and ever. Amen. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Welcome to Alive. This is Claire here, and thank you once again for joining me. Now, if you have listened over the last few months, you'll know that we have been, I have been promoting Fatima, as we always do, particularly as this is the 100th anniversary. But I'd just like to go outside a little bit from Fatima here, and I just want to link it into something through to Akita, Our Lady's Apparitions, which have been approved by the Bishop of Akita in 1973. But in between, there was an apparition. Our Lady appeared to four young girls at Garabandal. Now, it was in 1961 to 1965. Our Lady appeared 2,000 times. There was a commission, and it set up that there wasn't anything supernatural happening there, though there was nothing against the church and any of our doctrines. However, Garabandal had many supporters. One of them was Pope Paul VI himself. One of the visionaries, Conchita, was actually invited to the Vatican, met the Pope, and Pope Paul said, "I bless you, Conchita, and the whole world blesses you." Another person who was very adamant that Our Lady had appeared there was St. Padre Pio. And when he was asked by Joey, the man who was blind and who became a firm friend of St. Padre Pio, is Our Lady appearing to the four children? And St. Padre Pio said, absolutely, yes, she is. Another advocate who supported the apparitions and supported the young girls, got to know them very, very well, particularly Conchita and Jacinta, was St. Mother Teresa of Calcutta. She met the girls in New York and went on to actually have a bit of a healing from one of them in California. Yes, she certainly thought it was real, and people who were there did as well. So I just want to give you a little bit of background about the apparitions of Garabandal, but before I do, I want to link them to Fatima. So let's just go back a little bit about Fatima. As with every new apparition, you know, the church has to be cautious, and Fatima was no exception. The authorities were highly sceptical at first that Our Lady was appearing to the three young shepherds and that she would perform a great miracle on October the 13th. Apart from one or two supportive priests, most of the clergy felt the same way. In fact, the children used to run and hide every time they saw a priest coming up the road, because it was the clergy who always subjected them to the harshest interrogations. However, as the months passed, thousands more people accompanied the children on their heavenly rendezvous. So the Patriarch of Portugal was forced to do something. So he asked Father Dr. Formigo, Professor of Theology at Santarém University, to investigate the apparitions on behalf of the church. So Dr. Formigo came to the September apparitions, and from there on he gained the children's trust immediately, and they really, really loved him, and he interviewed them numerous times, starting in September, and he was the one who interviewed them immediately after the miracle of the sun. So when the children saw the tableau at the end while everyone else was watching the sun spinning, the children, particularly Lucia, she saw three visions. One of them was Our Lady and St. Joseph and baby Jesus. One was Our Lord as an adult and Our Lady as Mother of Sorrows. And the third apparition was Our Lady dressed as Our Lady of Mount Carmel. So as Dr. Formigo accompanied the three children home, they shared with him what Our Lady had said to them. Now, no one had actual greater access to the children than Dr. Formigo, and he was actually described as the first and foremost authority on Fatima, and he was even described as the fourth seer of Fatima because he was so connected to the three children. However, within a few short years, Francisco had died, Jacinta had died, and Lucia had been sent away to school, and that was in 1921. However, just 2 years later, in 1923, this is 7 years before the local bishop officially declared Fatima to be worthy of belief, Dr. Formigo published his own book about the miraculous events at Fatima, and he titled it See You at San Sebastian. Now, I didn't really know anything about this book until I read T. Michael Fahey's 2012 book on Garrett Bandel, titled Suddenly and Unexpectedly. So given that Dr. Formigo was the closest to the children on the day of the miracle, it would appear that as Our Lady said farewell to the children, she also included the phrase, until San Sebastian, Spain. Now, as I said, Garibandel has never been condemned by the church, and given that the events outlined by the seers are in the future, the church obviously has to take a prudent stance towards it, and very, very cautious. There are people who reject Garibandel, and they often quote the first investigation, which, as I said, found nothing supernatural. However, there have been other investigations. One of them, which was conducted in the mid-80s, was by the bishop at the time, and he had been a priest and witnessed three of the apparitions, and it always worried him that they didn't come out and support Garrett Bandel, so he decided himself he would do another investigation because he owed it to Our Lady, he thought, and to the children. And so that investigation lifted all the sanctions against the priests who, up until then, had not visiting priests could not say mass in Garibandel. So all the restrictions were lifted, and that was done through Cardinal Ratzinger's office. So never been condemned, and definitely got the highest supporters, Pope Paul VI and Saint Mother Teresa and Saint Padre Pio. Now, so where is Garibandel? Okay, Garibandel is in northern Spain in the Cantabrian Mountains, and it was a very little village at the time, 300 people, 80 stone houses, and it was totally isolated. No running water, electricity for a couple of hours each evening. There was not one car in the village, and the people had to eke out a very subsistence living. So life was pretty hard. But they were also very, very Catholic. And every evening there would be a woman would ring the bell and to let the people know it was time to gather in the church. and pray the rosary and the litany of Our Lady. Even during the day, a bell would be rung around the village to remind the people to pray for the dead. So this was a very, very holy village, and the rosary was something that every family did. So the four visionaries, we have Conchita Gonzalez, we have Marie Cruz Gonzalez, Jacinta Gonzalez, and Marie Loli. Now, even though three of them were called Gonzalez, they were not closely related. So the children, as all children do, they're very normal little girls. They snuck off one evening and stole some apples from the tree in the teacher's courtyard, and they went away to eat them quietly and feeling a bit bad about it, but, you know, as children do. Suddenly there was thunder, and instantly Conchita's head was sprung backwards and she was staring straight up. Now the children were, the other three were very alarmed and were thinking of going to get her mother, when suddenly it happened to them too. So they're all heads back, looking up, and they saw a beautiful angel. They thought he was about nine, a boy of about nine, but at the same time he had invincible strength. They had this thought about him. Anyway, so they, in a flash, he was gone, and they ran back to the church. No, why they were so pale. And when they said they had just seen an angel, of course, not many people believed them. However, over the next several days, the angel appeared as well. On July the 1st, 1961, he spoke for the first time, and he said, "Do you know why I have come? To announce to you tomorrow, July the 2nd, Our Lady will appear to you as Our Lady of Mount Carmel." Now, there was a flash of light. The children fell on their knees on the rocks. People around sort of winced because it was such a harsh noise. There was a brilliant light, and the girls saw two angels. They recognized the first. It was later they learned it was St. Michael. And without the slightest hesitation or fear, they spoke with Our Lady, and they described it like as if their mother had been away and they were just greeting her again. Our Lady smiled and just discussed, you know, everything that they had done that day. And Conchita said the Blessed Virgin had a white dress, a blue mantle. She had a small crown of golden stars, but they couldn't see her feet. And her hands, in her right hand, she had a scapular. Her hair was long and dark, brown and wavy. She had a beautiful oval face and a long, delicate nose, a very pretty mouth, full lips, a dark face, but lighter than the angels. She had a very unusual, lovely voice. And Conchita said, "There is no woman who resembles Our Lady. She is just so beautiful." On the second visit, Our Lady brought the child Jesus as well. Now, one of the things the children did, they wanted to entertain Jesus, so they started doing a little game. They would pick up pebbles, and they would raise them up to Our Lady, and she would kiss the pebbles. And they would be given to people in the crowd, and they were told that there would be a special grace would be for the people who had those pebbles. But eventually Our Lady said she would much rather kiss religious objects. What happened? People would take a whole lot of objects to the children's homes, leave them on the tables, and they'd be all taken in a tangled mess for Our Lady to kiss. Now, children would hold them up to Our Lady. They'd be in a tangle, but suddenly they would just fall apart. The children had no idea whose they were, but with their heads held back, still looking at Our Lady, they were able to go and find the owner of each piece without even looking down to where they were walking or at the person. They were even able to give back wedding rings. Now, in Spain, there is a custom to wear them on two different hands, and the children were able to give the wedding rings and put it on the correct hand of the woman whose ring it was. Now, on July the 4th, Our Lady revealed to the children that a special message, but she said not to announce it until October the 18th. So the 18th is quite a special time for Garabandal, because Our Lady first appeared on June the 18th and the message wasn't to be released till October the 18th. So, of course, the truth had to be established about Garabandal, and proof was needed, and certainly proof was given. There are so many miracles attached to Garabandal, they could fill volumes of books. Okay, so the girls, when they were in ecstasy with their heads absolutely back, you've got to see photographs of them to understand how on earth they could keep their heads back at that right angle for so long. So they were rigid, their bodies were cold as stone, and they were completely insensitive to pain. For example, doctors would prick them all over with pins. They would burn them with the tip of a match. The girls didn't react at all. They would shine torches into their eyes for a long period of time, and they never blinked. And in fact, at one stage, Cheetah went, I think, for 20 minutes in ecstasy without blinking, which is physically impossible. Two men could not lift one girl. There was something about their weight, whereas the girls themselves, they're only 11 and 12, could lift each other as they held up the relics to Our Lady to kiss. So they were able to just pick each other up and down. Men could lift them. Sometimes they were just, if they were kneeling, they would just fall straight back on the ground and their heads would bang on the rocks. Again, everyone would just go, oh, but it didn't hurt them at all. They would fall down on top of each other sometimes in the most lovely pose, almost like a sculpture, but their clothes were always daintily arranged and very modest around them. The girls levitated. I mean, the physical things that happened to the girls was quite extraordinary. Then they had what is called the ecstatic marches. They would link arms and they would run at full speed up and down a very, very rocky place to the Nine Pines up at the top, which Conchita's grandfather had planted for the communicants that particular year. So the girls would just run up and down, backwards, never falling over, never looking where their feet were going, and they did this all the time. Impossible. People tried to keep up with them. They couldn't. And they had three calls, like in a locution, and Our Lady called them. The first one they heard, wherever they were, the girls would start to come. Then they heard a second one, and then they would find out where Our Lady wanted to greet them. Now, people would follow them and try and run with them, but they couldn't. Never could they catch up with the girls. And then the girls would stop instantly, defying the laws of nature, and everyone else would run past them. So Our Lady, as I said, 2,000 times she appeared to them over this four-year period, and sometimes it was twice a day. Every time she appeared, she prayed the rosary with the girls. In fact, that was one of the main things. She wanted to teach the girls how to pray the rosary, and that was slowly. So that was one of the message of Garabandal. The other message was the Eucharist, and that there had been a loss in the sense of the real presence. And so St. Michael began to give the girls, or teach them how to receive Holy Communion, and he would practice with them. So they learned how to do this reverently. Now, the message on October the 18th that year was pretty startling. We must make many sacrifices, perform much penance, and visit the Blessed Sacrament frequently. But first we must lead good lives. If we do not, a chastisement will fall us. The cup is already filling up, and if we do not change, a very great chastisement will come upon us. Many of the people who were there came away very disappointed because they expected more. It was a plain message, but what was it? Lead a good life, do many sacrifices and penances, and if people don't turn their life around, twice in this message, there's a mention of chastisement. So I think we should take that to heart, certainly. So as I said, gradually more and more miraculous things started happening there. The ecstatic marches, they were called, going up and down. Even when the girls were on the ground, they were able to lift themselves up without using their hands or their elbows or anything else. They just sat straight up, bolt upright. There were so many things that happened. So more and more people started visiting, a lot of priests, and some priests would come incognito, but the girls were always able to recognize them because Our Lady always pointed them out. And one particular apparition, when Conchita gave a crucifix to Our Lady to kiss, every person who Our Lady directed the children to, every man, was later identified to be a visiting priest. And of course Our Lady knew that. So one priest who came was a Jesuit, Father Luis Andreo. He was a brilliant young theologian, a professor, and he had a reputation for being very, very saintly. Now, at first, he was very sceptical, but after closely looking at the girls, he realised that something very special was happening to them. Now, on August the 8th, 1961, he made another visit to Garibandal, and he was in the crowd that night, and he was looking at the girls very, very closely up at the pine grove. Suddenly, his face became very tense. He was perspiring, and he cried out, "Miracle, miracle, miracle." Now, later that night, he was driving home with a group of friends. He was sitting in the back seat of the car. It was in the early hours of the morning, and he was heard to say, "What a gift the Virgin has given me. How lucky we are to have a mother like that in heaven. This is the happiest day of my life." He coughed, he put his head down to his chest, and he died. Now, in a later vision, Our Lady told the girls that Father Luis, on the 8th of August, had not only seen her, but he'd also seen the future miracle that Our Lady had told the girls about. Now, Father Luis's brother also went with him on one occasion, and he was very, very sceptical. But he said to himself, if this is true, the girls were in ecstasy, please let one of them come out of ecstasy. Instantly, one of the girls came out of ecstasy, and then a little while later she went back. And the girls discussed it afterwards. Why did that happen? And the girl said, "I don't know. I just came out of ecstasy and went straight back in." And so this made Father Luis's brother, he said to Father Luis, "Be careful. Thoughts can be read here in Garibandal." So he was another believer instantly about what was happening there. And this sort of thing went on all the time. However, over the years, these are some of the things that Our Lady told the girls. That there was a tribulation coming. And what is the tribulation? Communism. And so Our Lady told the girls, when it comes. And so, of course, this is 1961, and communism was still strong. It was in the middle of the Cold War. And so people asked, "What do you mean? Will communism go away?" And the girls said, "We don't know. That's just what Our Lady said. And the tribulation cannot be avoided. Next, there will be a warning, and I'll talk more about it next week, where every person will see their soul as if they're standing before God. So it's a correction of everyone's conscience. You're not going to die from it, though some people might have a heart attack when they see themselves before God. Then there will be a miracle in Garibandal above the Nine Pines, and a permanent sign will be left there. However, if people do not repent, there will be a chastisement, but that is conditional on how people react once they have the warning." Okay, time for the program to end now. We always seem to go so quickly. And please tune in for some more about Garibandal next week.
The road is long. Where
knows.